one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show.
But at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh. Well, you
know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge, joining me as usual.
You weren't recording all this whole time?
We're live.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm just doing like the intro.
I got you.
So yeah, that's BZ430.
Anyway.
Mr. Disrespect.
What's going on?
FIFO 24/7. And no response. Oh, okay.
Got no response.
Just all right. Right. All right, cool.
You know who I am.
So, Dead in Sports, man, we're coming to you live from Dead in Studios here in Atlanta, Georgia. Dead in Studios is also part of the Dead in Podcast Network. Go to deadinpodcast.com, check out the other shows. If you like other sports talk, check out Chris Platty, Strictly Hoop Talk, and B-Ball Talk. And then also check out Manny's Any Given Sunday. He's got a couple of good guests on there. I think he even talked to the producer director that did the Felipe Lopez documentary.
Oh, for real?
That's yeah, dope. Yeah. So that was a pretty cool listen. So go check that out. That's on deadendpodcast.com. You can find it, you know, in your podcast feed. Right now, we're definitely going to get into, of course, the hottest news of the week. But in doing so, we are also watching game 4 of the Bucks and the Raptors live. Right now, Toronto is up 72-60 in the third quarter with 8 minutes and 43 left in the quarter. It's not looking good for the Bucks so far. Shout out to Nick Nurse. I think he made some adjustments. It seems to me that he's kind of pulling a Popovich. And I'm trying to make Giannis adjust.
We use that name too loosely. Let's just say he just coaching real well.
No, I said he's pulling a Popovich in terms of how they guarding guarding Giannis. So I'm not saying he's like Popovich. That was everybody else out there in NBA Twitter and NBA World that fell in love with Brad Stevens. But yeah, man. So
this is why coaching is important in playoffs during NBA playoffs, because the adjustments that you see teams making. On the fly, just like this, from each game to game. Like, that's why coaching is very important in the NBA playoffs.
And also why we never overreact to game ones.
Right. Never overreact to game ones. Never overreact when teams go up 2-0, because if they protect their home court, guess what? That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yep.
And Toronto look like they're doing the same thing. They protect their home court. So that's why you don't say series is over after freaking one game.
And that's why home court matters in the playoffs.
Yep.
And the other thing that they say is that's why when a road team wins a home game, that's why the cliche, we finally got a series.
Yeah.
These things are around for a reason.
Right.
You know, so.
It's like proven history.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep. So unless the team is just extremely more dominant, we're talking about an 8-1 matchup or even a 2-7. So, but Magic Johnson, man, was on First Take. He has some things to say, man. Let me pull up this article. Let me see, get some of these quotes.
I was listening to the I didn't finish the whole episode with the Bomani Jones podcast.
Oh, I didn't listen.
Yeah, he said that him and his co-host for High Noon, they came into work early that day.
Oh, really?
Just to see, like, just because they knew Magic. I think it was like 2 weeks out since they knew he was coming, and they made sure they came early that day. And they was just want, they just wanted to see the ruckus, because I think Bomani came in the building. He was like,
"Bring the ruckus.
How's what's Magic on? What are you talking about?" And one of the producers, I think they said, he's singing like a canary.
Man, he. You know what's interesting? He's obviously trying to protect his reputation,
mm-hmm. Protect his brand.
Yep. He's trying to say, look, it ain't me, you know, it ain't what you think it is. And also, what we're starting to hear is, and what some of us have already known, is that this is who he is. He's always been this type of guy. But he's been this guy without social media and without 24/7 coverage. You know, there's a story in Ramona Shelbourne's article where she wrote that he's always been very vocal He's always very emotional. He's going to say what's on his chest. Pat Riley said that that's what he loves about him, but that's also what he's cautioned him about. So this is par for the course, but people haven't really seen it because what do they see about Magic? The smile and everything like that. And Stephen A. said something very interesting. He said he'll be around you, he'll smile, he'll chop it up with you, he'll hang out with you, and probably won't even like you because at the end of the day, he's a businessman. Mm-hmm. And so what was surprising for me was when he named names. Like,
he named a name.
Stephen A was like, so who else was? He was like, nope, just Rob.
Just Rob Pelinka. That's all. When I talk about betrayal, oh yeah, just Rob Pelinka.
Backstabbing. Yeah, that's Rob.
That's Rob. And Stephen A, Rob Pelinka, right? He had to make sure to get the last name. Like, yeah, it's him. Yeah,
no, just him. Mm-hmm. But then what this is what Magic does, man. He talked all that
man,
shit.
Once you get him going. It was just yap. He was this boy. He was Temptations up in there. My girl. Talking. He was singing, boy. He was singing the whole time.
But the best part is that after he tore the man down, he was like, but I'm still a Laker fan. You know, that's why we're here. I'm here to support
Rob.
What
did you say when you started off? He's a businessman.
Yep, he's a businessman.
He's always going to keep them connections tight. Yep.
And he always, come on, man. He's arguably the greatest Laker of all time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Regardless of whatever happens on the business side, like personally, he's always going to be tied to the Lakers. He wouldn't be Magic Johnson if it wasn't for the Lakers in the time that he played for that organization. Mm-hmm. And he understands that. So I don't think that he'll ever mar the situation to the point where Magic and the Lakers aren't synonymous.
But at the same time, it's like when you say all that, like Magic knows this summer, this part of where the Lakers franchise is at right now is very key. It's like a key point in their franchise history. And on top of that, so if you know that, you go on First Take, one of the biggest shows in the sports world, and you talk about the dysfunction and the betrayal that goes on in the franchise that you know and love, how does that not fall back on Jeannie? If you were only trying to come at Rob, like, they chose essentially.
Oh, he blamed her too, though.
Yeah. Because remember, he started off by saying that when I sat down with Jeannie, I said, look, I got a lot of businesses, so I'm not going to be here every day.
Right.
Is that cool?
Is that
okay?
Right.
Yeah, because he said 3 years. He said 3 years.
Yeah, I was planning to be here 3 years. Mm-hmm. Right. He sat down and said, is that cool with you? She said, yes. I'm the president of basketball operations. That means I make the decisions on basketball stuff. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Yes. So if he now is trying to make decisions.
He laid that out. He already laid out the ground.
He already laid it out. I got the okay, which is the reason why I took the job.
I got
the
okay from the owner.
You know what I'm saying?
I got okay from my boss.
So I'm taking this job based off of these things that we clearly laid out. And now when these decisions start to come about, oh, I got guys from finance. I got Rob Pelinka talking shit behind my back. And you going to side with everybody except me? It's time to move on.
You know what
that's
I thought?
Business.
Yeah, yeah, and that was him. He definitely made a business decision because I can't get anything done.
Exactly.
And when this all go left as it is now, because I can't get anything done, it's gonna fall on my head.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "So I'm out of here.
I ain't gonna be here."
and you know, and that was real, man. He was like, It's already bad enough. I came to a team that was already rebuilding anyway. So I didn't have the talent that I really needed to win. And when I got a guy that I needed, I couldn't even get the coach that I needed to make this all work.
And I had a feeling that had something to do with it. Like, he wanted to fire Luke Walton. They weren't going to let him. And I think that was kind of like,
and that's the thing.
That was it right there.
It's like, what the hell does Luke Walton have that everybody wants for some reason in California?
No, but they said it though. Like Luke is not, or Magic said it. Luke is not a bad guy.
This game ain't about being a good guy.
But understand that relationships mean a lot in the NBA, and
obviously,
personally, he has great relationships with obviously a lot of people in that organization. Mm-hmm. Former Laker, played under Phil Jackson. Obviously, coached under Steve Kerr. You know, so there's a lot of ties and stuff like that. And he's a great person on top of that. So you want to believe that he is going to get over that hump. But when you remember, we talked about this last week. When you add a LeBron James to the pot, it expedites everything. And unfortunately, maybe you can be the coach that we need to win the championship. But we got LeBron. We got to win now.
He was the coach when he had the young guns because the stakes wasn't as high.
Exactly.
And the other thing is he also said, look, I need my own guy. And everybody says this is another one of those common sayings that when you change or
the coach is going to go to.
The coach is more
going to go. Unless you got a Hall of Fame coach.
But then if we know this, why wasn't it practiced out like
so
that?
They also said that too. And everybody's also saying this. Is because they are one of the few, if not only, family-run business still left in the NBA. So she's making her feelings, her connections are caught up, like Raph was alluding to. Everybody else make business decisions. She hasn't gotten to the point where she can make a business decision yet because they're all family and friends, which is why the Rambuses are involved mm-hmm. and screwing everything up. So that's the problem. So until, and I think Magic said that, until she gets all these people out of her ear, until she gets to the point where she's just going to be the final person to make a decision, it's going to always be like this.
And then it goes back to what I was saying probably about coming up a year ago from now, as far as last offseason. I remember I was telling y'all, like, this is a showcase for free agents, everything they do this year for the Lakers. And mm-hmm. now you're looking at all this. Magic's, again, like y'all said, singing about this stuff, the dysfunction. How can they get a Kawhi Leonard? How can they get a
Because I still think it's L.A. And I think that brand matters a lot.
Well, the brand.
Not a lot. That's the wrong word.
The city more so. Just L.A. living. Number two, you got LeBron. You know what I'm saying? So it's still. The Lakers are always going to be somewhat attractive versus yes. other organizations.
Of course.
Regardless of the dysfunction, right? So with that being said, you still have arguably the top three basketball player in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Before he got hurt, they were in playoff contention. You know, so there's still a lot to be said about the Lakers.
But as far as what they got going right now, like they got a head coaching situation that we all know is going to end up being an issue. It's going to end dramatically.
Only if people don't play their roles. Apparently, from what we've heard,
when have they done it so far?
Because Vogel and Kidd already know what's up. So as long as they just stay in their lane and Vogel just stay in his lane, then it'll be fine. Now, if they didn't sit down with them and said, "Look, in a year, Kidd's going to be the job, but we need you to be the bridge to get him there," then you're right. But because they sat down and told him, like, this is it, unless Vogel starts winning and feels some kind of way about it, mm-hmm. that's when you'll have the issue. But if he understands and is cool with it, then.
But you're kind of already setting things up for failure with that.
It is. And here's the thing.
Maybe not.
First of all, with the contract negotiations with Tyronn Lue, that's not how you handle business. That's number one. Number two, as the hierarchy of that organization, how do you impose assistant coaches onto a coaching staff?
Thank you.
And you didn't even hire the head coach yet.
Thank you.
So all of this, including Magic Johnson's interview, reeks of dysfunction. And the Lakers are not built for long-term success. They're just not. But, it's a big but, LeBron is the one factor that can make it all work in the short term.
But he has to be engaged for that to happen.
He's engaged.
It's basketball.
But
LeBron is engaged.
Do you think he's engaged?
He was at the coach's introduction.
Yeah, because he had to.
Like, he didn't have to be.
LeBron had to be.
He had to for his sake, because we crucified, LeBron, or at least for me, we crucified him.
That was a business decision. And yes, that's what I'm saying. And I put it to you like this. The reason why LeBron is engaged is because he can't miss the playoffs again. He can't. He cannot. As great as he is, as much as he's done, 9 straight finals, 3 championships, what is everybody saying right now about LeBron?
People are
questioning LeBron.
Washed up.
Are we really questioning LeBron?
He's hearing all of it.
We know he does, right? So if you say that he's not, he's going to come out next season and come out here like, bro, I'm 22 again.
He's talked to Frank Vogel. They've had a good conversation, encouraging one.
Will he come out that same way if they don't get a top free agent?
Yep. I put it to you like this.
Because he's never really had one anyway. I mean, he's had, but.
No, not top free agent.
Wait.
Outside of when he and Bosh both went to the Heat, what free agents signed to LeBron?
Right, because nobody wanted to go to Cleveland.
they all traded for or got drafted by. Yeah. So at the end of the day, again, LA, that lifestyle, stuff like that. But I think LeBron is going to be internally motivated, regardless if I get a free agent or not. I'm making the goddamn playoffs. Even if I'm the AC, y'all ain't going to be talking about this like I'm a bum. I ain't Kyle Lowry. You know what I'm saying? Like, he going to go out. Man, I'm telling you, watch. Because think about how LeBron was playing earlier in the season. Were we saying that he was a bum? He was an MVP candidate before he got hurt. Am I wrong? Or were people really talking about LeBron as an MVP candidate?
No, he was definitely
28-8-8.
Because they was the number four seed when he went on Christmas Day before he went down.
So we're talking about a team that was a lottery team the year before. You bring on LeBron, and now you're the four seed. So why is he not going to be more so than ever to be internally motivated to be a dominant player?
Because it has to get to a point where he just gets tired of it, right?
This is
essentially his last contract, right? Like, he may
he's gonna get one more after this.
Not if he doesn't want it.
That's what I'm saying. Because he's LeBron, he could control his destiny. Yeah. Like, I think when he signed with LA, he was like, let me just get a chip with them, and I can go out to the sunset, and I can stay in the city that, you know, that I'm playing with, because he got all these, you know, side deals going on in LA. So for me, it was just like, how much, like, because, you know, he doesn't like playing with younger kids, rookies and stuff. He don't really care for that development.
Is that true?
Because that wastes time. He shipped off Andrew Wiggins.
He wanted Kevin Love.
But it cost, that was Andrew Wiggins' number one pick.
What have we seen?
Like,
but we didn't know what Andrew Wiggins was going to be at the time.
But in hindsight,
right? Yes, it was a great decision. It's a great decision. You got a chip.
Well, not possibly, even that.
Look at what Andrew Wiggins is now. Yeah. A super underachiever.
Well, I'm just going off of the results. Like, you traded a player to go get a championship.
But they didn't win that year, though.
No, they didn't. They won the second year. So, but for me, it's just like, for him, like, I, and again, this is why I had to say, like, I kind of feel bad for him, and I kind of take back most of the criticism I had, was because he's dealing with all this dysfunction that's falling onto his shoulders. Because, like you said, the only saving
grace... See, I don't think it's falling onto his shoulders.
But I'm saying...
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Because the only saving grace for all this going on is what you said, Fivo, but because LeBron James. We all expecting everything to be right because of LeBron James. How many times are we going to keep saying that before? It's like, he going to be like, bro, I'm tired of always doing that. I've been doing that all my life in the NBA.
I think,
except the Miami days.
Yeah, I think LeBron, as we've said on the show before, exposed the Lakers' dysfunction, because now, you know, everybody's looking at them, and they've had to make some changes because he's there, because they're trying to win a chip. I think this is definitely falling on Jeannie Buss. Nobody's really – look at this. Nobody's – like, LeBron is honestly somewhat of an afterthought in terms of bearing responsibility for what happened or what is happening. It's more like how – kind of – and maybe I don't know if this is what you're saying. How is he going to deal with it and get through with it?
Exactly.
And what I'm saying is that because he's always done it his whole career.
But it gets to the point where, like, we can't keep on like, he can't be the only factor that makes this thing go. Like, you have to put him in a position to win. That's the main thing.
That's why he went to LA.
Talked about his career. Like, he's never had a Hall of Fame coach. He's never really had a guy continuously in his career that can help him out when it comes to being a solid number two. And it's like, not only is it hard to get into playoffs in the West, now you're dealing with all this dysfunction on top of that. They still don't have a president or whatever the hell Magic was doing. His position is still not filled.
But that adds to the greatness of LeBron. When his story is over and done with, like, that's partly of what we're going to be talking about.
But if he doesn't make the playoffs again this season.
That's not barring injury, right?
I'm just talking about in general. Regardless, injury or health, if he does not make the playoffs again, what do we say about him? All falls on him, right?
It depends on what happens with the organization.
Exactly, it does. Yeah. There's a lot of factors in that. Because he didn't make the playoffs this year because he got hurt. Because
actually, this might be the best thing to happen to him in terms of his story.
He needed time off. Not just time off,
in terms of how the story is going to unfold. Because if this don't ever get right, they're going to come back to this year and this moment and look at this time and be like, man, this thing was a disaster because Magic left. There was infighting. Jeannie Buss don't know what she's doing. And they are going to end up blaming the organization more than LeBron, probably. Mm-hmm. depending on what happens and what unfolds.
I just don't see how this ship gets right, Luke. I don't see how they become a playoff team unless a free agent comes.
I put it to you like this. Mm-hmm. I think that the Lakers are definitely going to be scarred. I don't think that they're going to be able to overcome the dysfunction. And I think because LeBron signed, what, four-year deal?
Yeah, he'll be 3 years after.
A 3+1 or something like that?
No, I'm saying like it was a four-year deal. The first year is obviously gone, so he got three left.
So he got three left. So I think before his contract is up, I think he's going to request a trade because I don't see Pelinka pulling off the necessary moves that is going to require to build that team around LeBron.
I think they trade him. I don't even think he goes up to the front office. I think they just say, hey,
they're not going to trade him.
Pack your bags.
They've already.
Man,
if Rob Pelinka's snaking on Magic Johnson, what do you think he's going to do to LeBron James?
Because LeBron, at the end of the day, is money.
Yep.
But if you just said they're the biggest, you said they're the biggest brand ever. They don't do they?
And they're even
is the
bigger.
Lakers is who's bigger? Who's the bigger brand right now? Is it the Lakers or LeBron?
LeBron, today, right now.
Because look at the Lakers. When you think of Lakers, you think of mess. Front office horrible. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a bad stain on the Lakers organization
then,
right now.
Then I go back to the question: and what free agent? Like if Rob Pelinka ain't the guy, Magic was the guy who brought LeBron in, right? That's what he gets credited for. So now Magic's gone. You got Rob Pelinka, the snake that don't nobody like. No agent wants to deal with.
Look. LeBron is a lot like Jay-Z, where he teaches these players game. Follow my lead. Do what I do. If don't go for the sexy 5-year deal, 4-year deal. LeBron's here for 3 years. I'm signed for 3 years. Organization, you got 3 years to get this shit right. That's it.
But these guys looking for max deals.
And you can give me max money. You don't have to give me max years.
And LeBron plus the Lakers is more money. So that's why they're not going to trade him, because everything went up when he got there. That's what Magic said. So they're not going to trade him because they lose all of that. So if they dealt with Kobe and all of that losing and that contract they gave him, they'll tolerate this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I think it's going to get right, FIFO. It was funny because Rob Pelinka was doing damage control.
Yeah, did you see what he said?
In terms of how decisions are made?
No.
His conversation with Magic?
Yes.
Yeah.
He said all of that is false.
Yeah.
He said we were just talking cool. Like, I was just got off the phone with him. I'm like, man.
But like Stephen A. said, he'll make you think everything okay.
I'm just saying, look at all these NBA players, and like you saw how Boogie Cousins was talking about Sacramento when he left, about the snakes in the grass. You see how
George Karl,
Kawhi Leonard, how you when he left San Antonio, snakes in the grass. AD with the Pelicans, snake. Like you see, these people don't like messing with these type of characteristics.
Yeah.
So why? And now we just talked about how the Laker brand is looked at as a mess. It's just the brand itself right now. So why? So LeBron James and coming off of injury, like I'm going to tie my career to this for the next 3 or some years?
I think so. Because
if that was my son, I wouldn't advise. I'd be like, go to the Clippers.
I would. Because if you got a chance,
you could still be in L.A. with the Clippers.
What holds more value? Winning a title as a Clipper or winning a title as a Laker?
What holds more value, period? Winning a title or winning none?
That's not what I asked you.
Just based off the history behind the Lakers and all the banners and everything. So yeah, Lakers will hold more weight. But
in the next 3 years, you're going to win a title.
If you can go to the Clippers and win a title.
Wait, hold on. Go ahead.
But if you can go to the Clippers and win a championship at the Clippers, a team that's been like paper bag, like a joke, that holds some type of weight.
I said that to him yesterday.
And we know that the history of the Clippers has been paper bag. Yeah. But let's talk about the last 10 years. It hasn't been paper bag. They've been a winning organization the last decade.
Winning as in making playoffs and stuff.
And not being a laughing stock of the NBA.
Yeah, they're not a laughing stock anymore. They're far from it now.
They still not win a championship, though.
I feel you.
If you can win a championship.
No, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
All of these teams that haven't won in years, decades, or whatever.
Or like,
you can
ever
win a championship and you're the main card for that reason.
Man. You got a statue for you right out there.
That'd be nice, but you do
but the Lakers brand.
Yeah, the brand.
Which is, I know you agree with.
Like Yankees. It's like the Yankees.
Exactly. It's like winning for the – in the NBA is winning for the Celtics or winning for the Lakers, yeah, because they have such a storied history.
The two most historic franchises.
You add to it, you are amongst the Wilt Chamberlains, the Magic Johnsons, the Larry Birds, all of these guys. Like your name is next to their name.
I get the sentiment and going down memory lane, but in the next 3 years, I'm asking each one of y'all, do y'all see the Lakers win the championship?
I think they can, yes.
It's possible.
I don't see it.
I'm saying yes. I said yes.
So you're saying yes?
You don't want to say yes?
I'm saying hell no.
I'm not saying yes because there's still a guy out there. There's still a guy out there named Steph Curry, bro. There's still a guy out there named Steph Curry. And in the next 3 years, he's still going to be Steph Curry.
That's why I
said that team can still be the same just without KD.
Right.
And Denver's getting better. Portland, we always talk about.
They might keep Boogie, probably. You never know. They might still keep Boogie.
They might keep Boogie.
Yeah.
He'll have a whole year of rest.
Yep. So, yeah, I say
no. I like their odds of winning one. So, I think I like their odds with LeBron. You add a Kawhi or Clay or somebody like that to it.
Clay staying and Golden State.
Okay, so forget Clay. I'm just naming free agents. So, let's just say Kawhi or Kyrie, if you add them to LeBron with all the other young talent, so you don't have to give them away, then I think their chances go up.
But my thing is, why not go to the why would they pick the Lakers over the Clippers as far as which organization is the most well run, who has the most respect, who is in a position to win now?
Because they're not winning the title in 3 years. They're not winning the title in 3 years, so you'll be well run. Oh, that'd be great.
You said if Kawhi and Kyrie choose the Clippers instead of the Lakers.
Let's just say they only get Kawhi. That's not a championship team.
That's better than the Lakers.
No, it's not. Kawhi and LeBron is way better than Kawhi in LA as a Clipper. Both of them are champions. You see what he's doing? You know who he is. You see what, imagine him with LeBron.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, why would Kawhi is a smart dude. Like, he's only with the Raptors because he forced the issue, and that's where he ended up. If he could choose where he wants to go, and he's a quiet, low-key dude,
he'll go to LA,
but he might go to – it's going to be the Clippers.
Might be. It just – it all depends.
I think he'll only go to Clippers if he knows if Clippers bringing another superstar over there. I don't think he's just going to go just –
by himself.
Yeah. Because Clippers got enough.
It's Toronto West.
Right. So I think if he knows.
It's Los Angeles.
If he knows somebody else is going there, like a Kyrie or a KD, I think Kawhi to go. He'll leave Toronto in a heartbeat. I don't even see why KD would want to leave Golden State. Why would you want to leave that situation?
Because people talking shit and they get into his head.
So he got thin skin, huh? Pretty much.
I think that.
That's like you said.
I mean, why would you leave that situation? Think about it. Like, why?
Because he got his rings.
Yeah. Why not win more? But the thing is that even if he wins more, does that elevate him in the pantheon of all of the greats?
If he gets enough rings, it's going to elevate him.
It won't.
There's no amount of rings that will elevate. All right, y'all just. Come on. What are we. Why do we keep moving the goalposts?
Why leave that situation to struggle?
This has always been the goalpost for me.
Why leave that situation to struggle, though?
Because if you're great, legacy. You shouldn't struggle. Exactly. It's about legacy. And then you were talking about holding more weight for franchises that haven't won in a very long time. If you're that great, why can't you do that? You've already proven that you could go to a 73-19 and win a couple championships and be finals MVP. Right. Why not go to the Clippers? Why not go to the New York Knicks? Why not go to the Brooklyn Nets and be like, hey, I'm the best player in the NBA, and I'm going to prove to you why. Because I'm going to get this squad to the finals, and I'm going to get another
championship. Not only you, but everybody else that's been talking shit.
Exactly.
So why make the move based off what everybody else is
saying? That's what I'm saying. You're basically saying
legacy and competitive spirit. So, excuse me. So
that struggle shit overrated, man.
Huh?
Boy, I said that struggle shit is overrated.
From a Cincinnati Detroit nigga, this shit is overrated.
This shit is overrated.
What struggle?
I want to win.
Exactly.
No, I feel not having
no titles.
But that's the point, B. He's already won.
Exactly.
So he has his two titles. Winning. I know, but the box is already checked. You want more. You want to keep checking the box.
I want to keep checking the box.
So, and I understand that.
I love ball movement. I love the way we play ball.
as a competitor. You just want to win. I don't care how I get it. Give me the chips.
Yep.
I don't care if I'm Robert Horry. Give me the rings.
Give me the rings.
KD is like, I got my chip. I got two. I might have three. So not only that, I'm going to go down as a three-time champion. I have two final MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
if I go to another franchise.
But stop right there.
No, let him go.
No, because I'm going to let you finish. How come that's not enough to prove that you're the best player in the world?
Because at the end of the day, guys like him that's always been second, who always want to be first, he has something to prove to other people. You have guys that have that certain type of dog in him, and he used the cheat code to get his title. Now he wants to, like Fivo said, I'm going to show you and everybody else that I can do it by myself with a storied franchise. So now I'm building up my legacy, because right now in a lot of people's eyes, those two rings going to have asterisks by them, because he didn't. He did it. He got the accolades and the awards, but he really didn't.
You think
it
was the way he did it? You think it's just the way he did it?
It's the way he did it, man. But
make your situation easier. You know what I mean?
That's something like what
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
FIFO, man, if you on your own, you doing your own podcast at your own crib, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get, and then Dead End hit you up and say, "Hey, bro, we like your talent. We see that you really holding down your market. Come join us, bro. We can increase your numbers 3 times. We can make you a big personality, all that." You gonna say, "Hell nah, fuck y'all. I want to bring my own shit."
No, I will go. And then once my numbers get big, I'll be like, "I'm gonna go do my own shit."
That's what. Look at what Colin did. Colin kind of did the same thing. Hey, I built up everything here.
Yeah, but
here.
That was because of the back. But he was dealing with some bullshit.
It's still kind of similar. Like, I built everything up. People know who I am. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to go and better my situation.
Yep.
And that's what KD's going to do. Mm-hmm. KD needs his own. KD probably feels like he needs his own legacy, his own identity. Because right now he doesn't have that.
Because let's be honest. Is that KD's team? It never has been, never will be. It don't matter how many finals MVP he wins. It don't matter how many championship he wins. That is Steph Curry's team.
Is KD better than Steph?
That's not about that, Nick.
I'm just asking the question. Is KD better than Steph?
He is a better overall basketball.
So you're saying that the guy whose team it is, that guy is better than him, yet we still don't respect this guy because it's not his team.
Yep.
Yep. Look at what Steph Curry does.
That's just opinion based. That's not facts.
That's not opinion.
The facts is that he's better than Steph.
What's their record without KD?
Exactly.
Okay, you're including regular season with that, right?
I'm giving you data. I'm giving you stats.
They only got 6 games in the playoffs where he's not played and they went 6-0.
Okay.
Outside of that, everything else is regular season. We don't care about regular season
with the best player on the team gone, they're 6-0. With the best player on the team not playing,
can that happen to LeBron James?
They're 30-something and one.
It did happen to a Michael Jordan team, but can that happen to a LeBron James team? Can that happen to a Kawhi-less Toronto Raptors? Can that happen to a Giannis-less Milwaukee Bucks? Can that happen? Okay,
Boston, do they have the players that complement KD like Golden State compliments?
People think that the Bucks are going to win a championship.
But they don't have no shooter like Steph. They have no shooter like Klay, and they have no guy like Draymond. Any of those teams.
Nick, to add to it even more, I think they have a worse record when Steph don't play when KD plays by himself.
Look. What that means is this, and I've said this for years on this podcast, right? KD is the best player, but he's not their most important player. Steph is the most important player. The reason why KD is better than Steph is because KD is a 7-foot shooting guard, bro. Give Steph 7 feet and see what happens.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. If Steph was the one who was hurt and it was KD's team and it was just KD and everybody else,
mm-hmm.
do you think that they will be still in the same position they are in the NBA Finals?
Of course, because the rest of that team.
So then what are we talking about?
I don't think so.
So then what?
They'll be going to the finals.
See, y'all disrespecting KD.
No, I'm not disrespecting KD. What I'm saying
KD's
is
KD's disrespecting himself when he was up 3-1 against Golden State and lost.
That's an emotional reaction. That's not an emotional reaction.
That's facts.
That's facts.
No, when he didn't show up in the fourth quarter in game 7.
But since then, he's shown up, and like you said, he's a 2-time finals.
Because it's easier.
Yes.
Look, to be great, pressure makes diamonds.
Did he not make big shots? Did he make key plays?
On an easier championship team, Nick. Not when
it wasn't all on him. He knew if he missed shots, well, shit, let me just go give it to Steph. Shit, let me go give it to Klay. I ain't got to make no plays. Get that shit to Draymond. I'm going to go chill in the corner.
All the big shots in those finals.
He did because there was no pressure on
him.
Because it wasn't do or die if I made or missed this. It was do or die in OKC. Because we know what Russ is. But if I don't make this shot, we not winning shit. But in Golden State, I missed 3-4 shots. Oh, yeah, Steph got me. Oh, Klay got me. Steve Kerr going to run the right play.
Does this not sound like disrespect to KD? Like, he just – that he
Look,
it's been KD's career.
No, I'm just saying, like, y'all basically saying, like, oh, he really ain't shit to this team.
Look. What I'm saying
is saying.
No, what I'm saying is this, is that before
KD. Go ahead, say it, Ken.
Before KD joined the Warriors.
He ain't shit to the team. Yeah, I'm gonna say it.
Don't
give him the juice.
This is all right. I'm done.
He ain't shit. You know why? What's the record without KD?
Go ahead.
Look.
73-9?
We on the same side.
73-9.
They lost the 3-1 lead, though.
I don't think so. He said he ain't shit.
Listen. Before KD joined the Warriors, we gave fair criticism to KD. Excuse me. KD came up very short in a lot of playoff series.
He did.
Before he joined Golden State. Right? Just like LeBron did. And sometimes players need to overcome that hump in their career to then continue that type of presence and dominance, right? LeBron wouldn't be LeBron without the 4 years with Miami. KD wouldn't be where KD is right now today without however many years he's been with the Golden State Warriors. But pre-Golden State, the man shrunk in so many big moments. I'm pretty sure you forgot this because I know you're not going to mention this, but I am because I remember doing this show. KD missed big free throws down the stretch against Memphis. Memphis beat OKC, bro. And I want to say that was the James Harden version of OKC. And KD was missing free throws to put away Memphis in the playoffs.
Yeah, man.
That's not the type of KD you talking about right now. He missed shots. He missed free throws. He had turnovers.
I'm not saying KD doesn't have his faults. Like you mentioned, all great players do. There's a point in time where all great players didn't show up when they needed to, but they've overcame later on in their career. Because I remember that KD you remember. I remember KD in the finals where he averaged, 35, and the rest of his team didn't show up. And they only got that one victory. It was a gentleman's sweep. When they played the
Miami,
Heat.
Miami.
When they played the Heat. So it's like, of course, but my thing is this. Like B was saying, why do we have to make it so hard for you to be great? Why can't you just be great? Regardless of what situation you're in, if you're winning, you're winning.
Because there's different levels of greatness. Great isn't great across the board. Greatness, there's levels to this shit. There's levels to everything.
What did Tyrion say last night? He said, people love stories. What was Breon doing? She was writing a story in that book. KD wants his story written in a certain way. He doesn't want his story to be written with him taking an easy way out.
But that's because we putting that on him.
KD's putting that on himself.
He didn't come out and said, I took the easy way out. I need to go to New York.
Of course not. But look, man, he went to a 73-9 team.
Because he was tired of losing an OKC.
Okay. He went to any other team.
Nick, okay, so you're saying we're putting that on him. He's not putting it on himself. What if KD's like, man, I've done everything I could here. I'm good. I want to go to New York, and I want to try to win one by myself.
It's a challenge.
Yes, absolutely. Let
me tell you something about being competitive, right? Competitive doesn't mean easy. And what you're saying and your argument, what I'm hearing, what I'm interpreting is that it's easier for KD to win with Golden State, correct?
Yes.
As a competitor, like Ken just said, what else do I need to prove with Golden State?
And I'm asking you this. So let's say he goes to New York, Brooklyn, whatever. Mm-hmm. Some team that hasn't won a title in a long time or if not ever. And he wins a title with them. Mm-hmm. What does that say about his legacy?
Oh, that's going to add to his. If you win one in New York,
what about the Golden State history? Are we still having asterisks on those championships?
It's probably going to be.
It's going to boost those championships. It's going to boost them
if he wins in New York.
If he wins in New York,
how would it boost them?
Same way that LeBron did when he won in Cleveland. It's going to add
because it pretty much erased the Miami ones almost. I mean, it elevated it, but like when he won in Cleveland. That was their first time
ever.
Yeah, ever that organization ever won a championship. He brought a championship to that city for the first time since Jim Brown. And first time ever for Cleveland Cavaliers. So to me, that damn near like erased what he did in Miami because it's like
why? Shit. But why? My question is like why? Because it's harder. We respect it.
Yes. Why do we give Jordan so much props? The man couldn't even get out the first round. Then he finally overcame Detroit. And then he went on to three-peat two times because it was so hard. Everybody says that era was way more physical, which it was, right? People say that players were more skillful. I disagree. But it was a physically harder era to play in. And he dominated that. Because of the constant challenge, we elevate Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time.
You're a Knicks fan, right?
Yeah.
When was the last time you won a championship? In the 70s, right?
Yeah, with Phil Jackson.
KD won a title in New York, bro.
No, I'm going up there building a statue for him the next day.
And KD got to be sitting around talking to his boys like, man, if I get a title.
So what if you do it with AD and Kyrie there? Would it still be looked at?
But he's still the guy.
Yep.
That's the help, because Kyrie
has proven that he can't win one by, as a number one guy.
Kyrie's a sidekick. AD, he's not the guy.
AD can't even make it to the playoffs as a number one. Well, he made it once. But in how many years? 7, 8? Yep. So he's proven that he can't be a franchise guy.
But to me that sounds like Miami 2.0.
KD at least has proven that he can get to the finals.
He
lost
Miami 2.0 because D-Wade won the championship by himself.
I know KD would be the one.
And LeBron, you know, was constantly knocking on the door, right, before Miami. He was still that great. He was still the best basketball player in the NBA. And Chris Bosh got Toronto to the playoffs. And Chris Bosh was a 2010 guy. So he was the equivalent of AD, right? And LeBron was just on a whole nother stratosphere, and D-Wade won before LeBron. So it's not the Miami Heat 2.0, because KD is the main cog as to why. You're talking about potentially three-time finals MVP. That's what we're talking about there. How many finals MVP Kyrie got?
None. He should have won.
It would change KD's whole career. Legacy, bro.
I just feel like we as fans, we put these players in ridiculous situations just to see if they can get through it. Like, we keep moving shit just because because it fits our liking of what we consider tough.
I just think he shouldn't leave. That's all. I just think he should.
Get as many as you can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why? He should be able to be respected as a champion regardless of what situation he's in. If not, everybody wins.
If I'm KD, I'm smiling seeing them balling without me right now. It's just like, shit, when I come back, it's on. Like, we about to go.
But everybody in the media is saying that he should take that as what? As they don't need him. That this should be more of a reason for him to leave. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just talking about, if I'm KD, I'm like, shit, hell yeah, we balling, baby. But when I come back, it's a wrap.
But that's
like
a good mindset. Everybody else is on like, oh, this proves that they don't really need him. He's
KD's
icy.
Mindset. KD's
Man, we talking
mindset.
About KD. I mean, he's shown that he's sensitive to.
Yeah, but that's because we keep talking. Yeah. Like, we keep putting that negative
energy
out.
He shouldn't trip, but, I mean, he does got sensitive skin like that. I mean, KD's sensitive. He's proved us plenty of times that he's sensitive. Like, this dude had burner accounts on Twitter.
Exactly.
This dude is sensitive.
And at the end of the day,
that's why I think he's going to leave, but I think he shouldn't leave, but I think he will end up going to New York.
I want
to
see him leave because I want to see it. I would love to see if he could go to New York, who's been just as dysfunctional.
Or Clippers.
Huh?
Or Clippers. Now I got faith in Jerry West.
Let's stick to New York right now.
I got faith in Jerry West.
B, you've heard the. I don't know if you heard the reports, but
I know.
Yeah,
it's pretty. Yeah, I know. I'm just
but keep your faith.
Because, shit, hold on.
Oh, something new came out?
Yeah, hold on.
We got a text from Stephen A.
I know, right? something new came out about him going to the Clippers?
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Jerry West, man. I'm telling y'all. Don't be surprised if you get Kawhi and KD over there, man.
Because I heard that even though they're more stable, players are still afraid of Dolan. They're still afraid of Dolan. And they're still worried about him interfering.
I don't know, but
that's what I'm saying. Because New York, let's not forget, New York is a mess still.
Right now, it's
better, but they're still worried at some point.
Yeah.
What can Dolan do? He's just the owner. He's just paying everybody right now.
Well, okay, and Genie not fucking shit up?
No, but I'm just saying.
Right.
But Dolan's been, he's been all the way back. I haven't heard him say shit.
Mark Stein says LA has emerged as equally dangerous of threat to the Knicks to sign Kevin Durant away from Golden.
See?
And that's Mark Stein.
You still out in Cali? You still in beautiful Cali? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got a good coach. You got a stable front office from the owner to the GM to the coach, and you got great role players around you.
I would even say this. The Clippers have better role players than the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Role players.
Yes, they do.
Not the Clays.
Everybody else, they got the best
non-superstar roster in the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to come back to you,
Nick.
You
got a six-man of the year coming off the bench. With Kawhi and Durant.
Bruh, that's a problem. That's a multiple problem. Championships.
Patrick Beverley, you got a dog in Patrick Beverley? I don't know what they're going to do with Gennaro, if they're going to keep him or not, but if they keep
him. Oh, he out of there.
I'll keep him. I don't know how much money.
Is he on contract?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much money.
Because if they keep him, and then you got Lou Williams and Kevin Durant and Kawhi? If I'm KD, I'm staying either Golden State or I'm going to holler at Doc Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you.
So, yeah. So, I'm going to come back to you, Nick. Kawhi and KD, that's a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
In that 3-year window.
Mm-hmm.
So that changes things. So if KD goes to the Clippers, I can see Kawhi saying, okay, yeah, I'll go there. Yeah.
My thing is the Knicks still have the third pick, and they could use that as collateral for the Pelicans to get AD. My thing is like I'm not trying to convince KD to stay in Golden State. I want him to come to New York. I'm just saying, like, for one, I think his legacy is fine. I think at the end of the day, his career is going to be – he's going to be a top five basketball player of all time. But for right now, I think as far as where he goes between LA and New York, it all depends on how the Knicks make, like, what decisions they make going into this offseason and how they use that third pick.
Yeah, I think KD, in terms of where he ranks when it's all said and done, yeah, I think that will remain intact. But what's going to happen is it's going to be a yeah, but attached to him when they talk about, you know, his career. But his ability to play,
Toronto playing some good defense.
That shit won't ever change, because KD's still that motherfucker. And he's always been that motherfucker since coming into the league. Man, this shit is over.
Toronto, they playing some swarming-ass defense.
And you know what?
This is crazy.
This is where if Milwaukee wins this series, this is where they lost it. Because Golden State at home chilling.
And they should be going up 3-1.
And they got to play two more games.
Yep.
What's that, 50-40?
50-40-90, man.
Maybe three more if it goes seven. Because it looks like both teams are securing their home court.
If this goes seven, that means the team, whoever wins this.
Ooh, man.
They got to play the three days later.
Ooh, they have exactly. Ooh, they have neutralized
about
Giannis.
Team with, yes, they have.
Well, it's easier when you have a guy like Kawhi out there.
Have you seen the type of defense they've been playing?
Yeah, this is not new, because I remember in the Philly series, I was so surprised at how many 24-second shot clock violations, and they're doing the same
and
thing.
And they're doing
Not
way.
As many,
yeah,
but they're still doing it.
I know.
They're still doing it.
I was telling Ken that. I was like, they guarded Giannis like how they guarded Embiid.
Yeah.
Just as soon as he touched the ball, right there, right there.
Yep.
Let me see what the chat's saying. What y'all saying in here?
That's crazy, dude.
Brandon Luciano, I think Durant knows deep inside his rings don't hold no weight. Winning just one in New York, greater than Warriors rings.
Yep.
I agree with that. Yeah,
it's just like LeBron.
Or Clippers. This is one in New York or Clippers.
This is a side note, but I think Hulu got the curse on these basketball players. Embiid got knocked out. Dame knocked out. Giannis going to get knocked out. Hey, Hulu has live sports, boy. This ain't looking good for them.
Let me look at this box.
That superstar that y'all was telling me about, what happened to him?
Who? Which one?
Oh, yeah, you don't even know his name no more.
Oh, my Dame.
Yeah.
Oh, Dame.
Yeah, I was talking hella shit in the chat. Y'all ain't say shit.
Nah, because you be talking crazy.
Well, I mean,
look at what they doing to Giannis. Ain't that your boy?
He's getting shut down. They still have two. They got at least two games. FIFO says six. they got their two games.
But you saying Milwaukee can beat Golden State if they get there?
And seven.
And they can't even beat Toronto.
I don't know.
They still
dude.
Up on this. This game ain't over yet.
Man.
It is.
This game over. This game over.
Every time Milwaukee gets close,
then here comes Toronto.
Toronto moves. Toronto weathered the storm. 12 or 14.
Yep, they weather the storm.
Now this game's over.
This game over. We tied. This is a 3-game series now. This is a 3-game series with two games being played at Milwaukee.
Y'all think this goes seven?
I think so. It's gonna go seven.
I think so.
I think Milwaukee gonna lose. They gonna win that game five. Come back here. Toronto gonna be hyped up. They gonna win game six, and it's gonna come back to Milwaukee for game seven.
You know, I think Kyle Lowry listens to our podcast because
you need
to apologize,
man. That dude's been balling.
He called him a bum earlier this year.
He's been balling.
He's a bum, but he's balling right now.
Man, he's been balling. Even the last round, even a couple of those games in Philly.
That pit bull.
He stepped up, man. Yeah, he stepped up.
I can't front.
Yeah, he stepped up.
There was a story that came out that Ibaka told the team that just because they're down 0-2, it don't mean anything. They talked about when OKC was down 0-2 to the Spurs.
And they won four straight. Yeah.
And
and they won four straight against Greg Pop.
Yep. So, and look at that. He only had 19 points.
Mm-hmm. Right. He ain't even like getting off. But he's
his team is finally showing up.
But he's there defensively, though.
So their defense is really good.
Their defense is really good.
But let's be honest, right? Like watching this, and, you know, we were talking about KD and Magic and all of this other stuff. I was watching Milwaukee miss like 3 4-point blank layups. You can't beat a team in the conference finals,
right,
and you miss shots like that.
Yeah.
You're not going to win games because these games come down to a couple of possessions, realistically.
Mm-hmm. They're all close.
Exactly. And if you're missing shots from right. 2-3 feet away,
like
you're not going to win.
Like Brooke Lopez, if your three ain't hitting, dude, get your big ass down low. Jesus.
Is that Bledsoe? Yeah. They left him out?
No, they called something. Yeah. They called
something. Oh, that was T.O.
Oh, I ain't even see him.
That's DJ Wilson. So here's what happened today. let's see. After blitzing, so the Warriors are leaving Lillard with few good options, squashing the Blazers' star at the point of attack. After blitzing picks and rolls just 4 times per game in the first 2 rounds of these playoffs, they're doing so 18 times per game in this series per second spectrum. Mm. Rarely does Lillard call for a pick without 2 Golden State defenders absolutely swarming him.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Golden State was watching film. Golden State was studying film.
So where was the adjustment coming from the player and the coach?
But that's difficult because at the end of the day, right, like Portland is very Dame-centric, right? The point of attack is with Dame.
It's with Dame, yep.
And if you take him out, and that's been Portland's Achilles heel. We take Dame out, Portland is out.
Let me add.
And even as good as CJ is,
they need a 3-and-D. They need a 3-and-D, man.
That other guy that they don't have. Can you imagine if KD played in Portland, bro? It don't matter what you do to Dame.
Yep, don't
CJ
matter.
And KD CJ, go off.
Yeah, it don't matter.
They don't have they that don't have other that, guy. Yep. That other
they don't
guy.
Have that 3-and-D.
And let me add this last thing. In game 2, Golden State blitzed Lillard 19 times. That isn't just the most blitzes Lillard has faced in a postseason game in his entire career.
Yeah.
It's the most any player has faced this postseason.
Yeah. You can't.
It's just
taking them out.
Here's the thing, Nick. In basketball, you can take away, it doesn't matter how good they are. One guy, you could take him. If you're going to say, I don't care what nobody else does, but this one guy ain't going to do nothing, you can do that, right? Like, look at Kawhi tonight, right? He played in the flow of the game. They didn't really try to take him out. But if Milwaukee said, Kawhi ain't getting more than 20 points in this game, they can do that. But obviously, yes, the Kyle Lowry's, the Ibaka's, the Marc Gasol's, they're going to get going. And they're going to get blown out because these guys are going to get wide open shots. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Dame don't have – outside of CJ, who else he got?
But
Aminu?
But for me, it's like it started since game 7 of the Denver series where he was –
But he closed them out. He didn't have a good game, but that final stretch, he closed them out.
Even though CJ closed out the most, but Dame hit some. He did hit some clutch baskets.
And that's what I mean.
He had some three pointers. He had some
timely baskets
that was very timely. Even though overall he didn't have a really good game, but when it was needed the most, Dame came through. But yeah, CJ definitely was like the hey take us home kind of guy. But Dame
CJ was the most consistent in that series.
Yeah,
but he wasn't in against the Golden State Warriors.
Nobody
they got his took, ass too.
Yeah, they got him. They got him good because it was one game where he shot like 5 for 16. Like he was shooting bad, man. They both were shooting bad.
Yeah,
it's the same philosophy that we had when we played. Look, it come up on the 15-year anniversary when we played Lakers and the Pistons back in 2004. Yeah, let Shaq go down there and dominate. Mm-hmm. Ben, you just handle as much as you can handle.
Do
as much as you can do. If Shaq get 40, cool. But what we're not going to let happen is Kobe get off. We're not going to let Devin George get off. We're not going to let all these shooters get off. As long as we contain these guys, Shaq can get his 45 and whatever. And we'll do whatever after that. So that's what they was doing with Dame. That's why they was blitzing so much. Couldn't do nothing. Like FIFO said, they so Dame-centric. It's like, once we take Dame out,
And that's not even Terry Stotts' fault. That's nobody. It's just how they're built,
right?
And they don't have the financial flexibility to really go get that other guy that they need.
Just like the Portland, that Lakers squad didn't have that third person. They just had Shaq and Kobe. And that was it. They didn't have that third guy. Mm-hmm. And we ate them up. Because me and Ken was talking. We got to talk about this shit coming up on 15 year anniversary. We was looking at the stats for that series. Some of those stats I forgot about, and like how horrible Kobe was shooting. How horrible Shaq, like, it was crazy looking at those numbers. I'm like, man, it was one game we held them to 69 points. Entire freaking game. The LA Lakers, we held them to 69 total points in four quarters. I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this because it's coming up on the 15 year anniversary of that. We got to talk about that. I want Rod to be here for that too. Because Rod remembers that series, and I know he remembered that that series like I do. Man, that was crazy.
And they're about to give Dame the Supermax.
Yep.
Yep, you get 191.
So,
you got to. I mean, you got to.
I mean, no, he's
they ain't
smart.
Got no choice.
Yeah, they just got to. They just got to do better to build around him. CJ,
they better
proven.
Listen to me and FIFO. Give him a 3-and-D guy. They're gonna end up looking like the Clippers.
Not Aminu and Harkless. They couldn't even play him.
Now, I know.
You got guys like
Evan Turner.
Evan Turner.
Yep. McKinney and Looney.
Yes.
And Quinn Cook playing better.
And here's the thing, right? Like, it's not like Portland's not trying. Just like the Clippers didn't try.
Right.
It's just there's but so many of those type of guys. If you don't get one.
Yeah, it's not.
But Portland was up like 15. They lost in the same way in two back-to-back
games.
So,
I know.
How do you explain that?
So that's more Golden State than Portland. That's more Golden State than Portland because when Golden State wants to ratchet it up, they can do that offensively and defensively, right? For them, and you've seen it throughout the playoffs, they don't care about dominating the entire game. Stay close. Fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go. We're just going to blow you out. If we don't blow you out because the Golden State run is right out of halftime, right? The first 3-4 minutes of that third quarter, they be blowing team. That's what it – most of the times that they blow a team out, that's where they blow them out, right? Portland is better than that. So they was able to withstand those runs. Just keep it close. When it comes down to it, who can out-execute Golden State right now in the NBA? Offensively or defensively? Nobody.
Nobody.
So as long as they stay close, and that means under 20 points – they're going to win the game.
But when you don't have KD, when you don't have Andre Iguodala.
Doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
It doesn't matter because, and I've said this too.
You get 30 from Leonard?
It doesn't matter because Steph Curry is the most, what's the word I always use? It's not devastating, but he's the most, what's the word I always use?
Important?
No.
Why are you thinking about that? Leonard had 30, but he had 25 in the first half. Second half, he only scored 5. Who cares about that?
But I'm
30?
Just saying, but that's a big contribution that you're looking
for. Not if it don't carry over.
And this is at home.
Hey, man.
I can't think of the word. But either way, Steph Curry's the most devastating player, right? Because think about it, man. Like, this is and watching Golden State made me truly realize over the last 3-4 years that 20-point leads ain't shit in the NBA. Because think about if you're up 20. What is it for Golden State to get 3 turnovers or a turnover and 2 missed shots against a team? That's nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Like that happens in a stretch. What is it for Golden State to hit 3 straight threes? If you're up 20 and I hit 3 straight threes, your 20-point lead is now 11. You know you're going to call a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Let you miss another shot and see what happens. That 20-point lead in 4 possessions can now be 8. With Golden State, what is that? That's not going to take me no 10 minutes of a quarter. That takes me a couple of minutes, and your 20-point lead is now a single digit lead.
And when the other guys don't value the ball and they make game changing turnovers or plays, there were again Aminu had a ball a rebound secure. Iggy came out, poked it out, and next thing you know, Golden State Warriors score 8 straight points, and they back in the game. Just
like that.
Secure the rebound and value the possession, but they weren't doing it. They played terrible.
So with that being said, that's the reason why it doesn't matter how much Portland, Milwaukee, Toronto, whoever they're playing is up by. It doesn't matter. If you're up by 20 with 2 minutes to go, that's different. You up by 20 with 7 minutes to go, or you can lose that game. Easy.
Because you're at the end of the day, you're not scared of anybody else on that team outside of CJ and Dame. yeah, Leonard can go in and get his 30. Mm-hmm. They ain't going to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Aminu, we can go in and Harkless, yeah, go ahead and do what you do. Evan Turner, yeah, you might hit a bucket here too, but you're not consistent enough to keep that going. So as long as we shut everybody else down, I'm going to take my chance with everybody else because their talent and their skill isn't going to beat me. There's nothing that they can do to beat me. That's why I wanted Denver over them because I think they had other secondary guys that would at least play better than them when they took out Jokic and Jamal Murray. At least they'll still be playing. Terrible. So, all right. So, we're going to close out with this game unless there's something else. But, yeah, I'm looking at the box score.
Real quick, I just want to talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Deontay Wilder and Brazil fight.
Okay, hold that. Let me do this real quick, and then I'll let you close out with that. Nick Powell probably changed the series, man.
Mm-hmm.
18 points, 13 threes. He shot poorly, but he jacking them up 32 minutes, so he's spreading the floor. But, yeah, it wasn't a Kawhi game, but Gasol and Kyle Lowry. This may be definitely home court cooking. For sure.
We'll see what they do in game five.
Yeah, they look like the way I'm looking at this box score and the way they play, they definitely were more comfortable.
They Milwaukee have to look at the film.
Yep.
Because this defense that Toronto played against them tonight, they need to study this film tonight. They need to go into the film room tonight, like
plus,
right now.
Yeah, you get that one win, the monkey's off your back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 6 or 7. I think y'all already said.
Yeah, 7.
You think 7?
Yeah, I think it's going to go 7.
I say.
How you feel about your pick now?
I'm still confident.
Okay. I think so. You still Milwaukee against Golden beating Golden State?
Mm-hmm.
What? Just in this series. Are you still confident in this series?
In the series for Toronto? In this series.
Okay.
Yeah, I think with the way Toronto came out today, because I told you they was going to win when we came in, because the pressure was just too much for them not to show up. I still say 6. I'll go 7. I'll go 7 Bucks. I think the Bucks
going to win game 5.
Yeah, I think they take care
lose,
of home court.
Lose. Okay. So pretty much take care of home court.
Just take care of
lose
home court.
Lose game 6, come back game 7, finish it up.
Yeah,
and then you say they're going to beat Golden State in 7?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have home
court. They got home court. Yeah, that's my main foundation for it, but I just believe. I mean, they got the Giannis commercial going on right now.
Let's wait till we get there first.
Oh yeah, all right. But I think
because it might end up being Toronto. Hey, you
know, I can't see it. Toronto don't have that much consistency. Like this is an outlier. Like look at FIFO. FIFO really want to say Lowry trash every game, and he's having outlier games.
I think it's gonna go 6.
Toronto.
He gonna say Toronto.
He just want to be a damn troll.
He wants to be.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I think this is a very difficult series to pick. I'm gonna go with
amazing. With two games, can swing a whole series around like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Milwaukee in 7, just because I think that. I agree with you. Like it's gonna be the home cooking series. Mm-hmm. Whoever's at home, I think is gonna win.
Because what series was like this? It was this playoffs too. Oh yeah, Golden State, right?
No, and last year with Cleveland and Boston, the only home loss that Boston had was Game 7.
Yeah, or even with Boston and Milwaukee last year. It went 7 and Boston won because
they had home court. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Boston did not win a playoff road
on the road.
Last.
Yeah,
they always won at home.
Yeah, so
it's one of those things. I just think home cooking. But in terms of the finals, though, nobody.
Well, let's wait.
Right, you don't gotta wait
because it don't
just
matter.
Give it to him.
It don't matter who makes it.
No, I'm with you.
Give him the.
I'm Warriors.
Give him the trophy right now.
Still got to be played.
I know, but
I'm gonna go
to
Raptors in 6.
Okay, Raptors.
I'm gonna go Raptors.
So they pretty much about to win 4 straight.
I think the adjustments they made on Giannis. I think they carry over.
You know, you're the drink of this podcast.
Coach Bud ain't gonna make the adjustments. You don't believe in Coach Bud?
He didn't in this game.
What did I tell you? I told you. I said he's a game to game adjustment. He doesn't do in the game. He does it the next game.
But he's had a whole game. He had game 3 and he did.
They didn't guard him like this. They didn't guard him like this in game 3.
So, I think I think they're gonna win 4 straight.
Wow.
I think they're going to win four straight.
That's a heck of a statement.
Mm. So.
Isn't that interesting? Van Vliet and Brogdon is like the same guy.
It's like the same guy. Right. Like literally the same guy.
That's funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because Giannis, man, they his statistically looks great, but he is not having an impact on
nah,
the game.
Nah, he gotta get some home cooking.
And confidence is a motherfucker.
It is. But I think Milwaukee probably think like we going back home. We got control of it.
Don't forget the Raptors stole game. I mean the Bucks stole game one.
They did.
They really did. They did.
You know what's been a big difference for this Toronto squad? It's been Marc Gasol. His consistency, especially in this series from three, and also making plays for them.
What's wrong with Kawhi?
His really changed. Look at that. How many big men make that pass? These two passes that
he took that pressure on because the game they lost. The last game that the Raptors
played
lost,
horribly.
He was like, it's on me. I gotta step up.
A couple of podcasts ago, maybe a month, I mentioned Paul Gasol in the Philly series. He laughed at me. He kind of dismissed me and waved me off.
Who waved you off?
This one.
Oh, really? I did because I said that.
He said this one?
I said that he didn't have nothing for Embiid, which he didn't have a great Philly series, Marc Gasol.
His size, his presence was enough. But Embiid just wasn't healthy the whole series, and he played like shit.
Ooh,
all right, so before we get to Deontay Wilder, we need to fix the teams
that
are no longer, because we didn't do that, right?
No, we did it.
All right, so what are the teams we need to – the Rockets were one, right?
We talked about Portland already, right?
Did we?
Yeah, because we basically said they didn't.
Yeah, we kind of already talked about Portland.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, even though that's – even though it's
– So we got Boston, we have Philly, and we have Denver, and that's it.
So, okay, let's start with
the Rockets.
Oh, yeah, the Rockets. Yeah, my bad.
Okay, so let's start with the Rockets then. I think the Rockets – and this is just me. It's time to blow that shit up because they're not close.
I am 100% with
you. Blow like
yes.
Everybody.
Trade Harden.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're going to. I thought you mean like blow up all.
You
got to
sell tickets, bro. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Like, if you get rid of everything else, like, what else are you going to bring? Like, no, for real. What else on that squad has value?
What are you bringing into when you're trading?
What else has just answer the question outside of James Harden? What other player has true value in the NBA?
Nobody.
Eric Gordon got some value.
What do you, second round pick, role player?
You get a player for
nobody.
You're not getting nothing that's better in return than what you're shipping out.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's again value, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I getting that's better than what I have right now? Nobody but James Harden has value on that roster. Nobody.
So start all with of him?
I would trade him. Everybody that thinks that they're that close to
people always trying to trade somebody.
Boy. He even say their career over, they done in the city.
Look. I would hit up David Griffin and be like, oh, you want to keep AD? Give me Zion. I give you James Harden. You know what I'm saying? Give me multiple first round picks. What I'm saying is Houston needs a true restart because the CP contract, if you can get up out of that, you got to get up out of that.
I told y'all from jump that contract was horrible.
And I agreed with you from the number standpoint, but it's what you had to do. It's like the Kobe contract.
With the Clint Capella shit, too. They got two bad contracts.
That's the one. Capella, he got fat. He got that money.
He got fat off that contract. His pockets got fat, and he got fat too.
I got my big contract.
It's almost like Hassan.
I was about to say Hassan Whiteside. It's the same shit.
I got $100 million. Nigga, I made it.
It's the good. It's the $100 million center curse. Anytime you give a center $100 million, it's the worst thing you ever do.
But it depends on the center because Joel
DeAndre Jordan, same thing happened to him. He got paid, ain't do shit since.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah,
but DeAndre Jordan is also a dependent player, just like Clint Capella.
At the time, we all thought.
But Capella was supposed to be the part of the big three.
Yeah,
but so was DeAndre Jordan. But that's why I have issues with dependent players being part of your big something.
No, I feel you. I feel you.
We can go back to Ibaka and OKC.
Because Ibaka continued to get better.
But they just made the wrong decision.
They
picked him versus James Harden.
It was money. Yeah.
So FIFO's saying blow it up. What you got, Ken?
I'm not trading Harden, but I'm with him on blowing it up.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
I still
blow it up. Like, it's time.
You gotta sell tickets. It's still a business.
What about this? Let the coach go, because
they're going to sign him to an extension already.
And you're not going to win with that, with the way they play. You're not going to win in under that.
But he's giving them the best years, right, in the last few years.
True. And I also told Ken this. This is the reason why they fired their defensive coordinator, because to me, this is a warning shot to D'Antoni. Motherfucker, we don't make it to the finals next year, you the next one gone.
No, he
should be the head coach.
There's a report that came out. They're giving him an extension. He's not going anywhere. Yeah.
Man, what does that mean? Coaches get extensions all the time. Get fired the next season, bro.
Yeah, they do. They do. It just be on that. It be on that team and still pay him. But
okay, I understand.
Mike Brown's still getting paid by the Lakers, ain't he?
Exactly. Right. Mike Brown's still getting paid probably by Cleveland still. That man getting head coach money, being an assistant.
An assistant on a winning team.
So, nah, man, look.
CP3, out of there. Send him to LA.
I don't know who's going to send him with his buddy LeBron.
Yeah, banana boat.
Yeah. Let me ask y'all. So, since y'all say y'all would keep Harden, you think Harden would fill more seats than Zion?
Yes. That's a surefire product versus the unknown.
Here's why. Because this
man brought Barack Obama to Coach K.
Zion?
Yes, Barack. When they were about to play North Carolina, Barack Obama came. The game where he busted his shoe out. Barack Obama was at that game. Cease was selling for like $1,000 a pop, dude.
Hard is winning and giving
it
them.
It don't matter, though. But he... Look.
He might be the reigning MVP.
I think there's only three players in the NBA today, right now, that can outsell Zion. LeBron, KD, Steph. That's it. Every other basketball player, Zion will fill in more seats in any arena than Houston.
I don't think it's going to add to it because they're already going to see Harden anyway.
It doesn't matter.
They love what Harden does.
And you know what? And I give you that.
But that's a big drop off because you're blowing
up. It's not a big drop off.
No, I'm saying you're blowing up the whole team. So all you're going to have is a guy that can just dunk for 42 games.
Doesn't matter. Look, Daryl Morey already sold them on a rebuild, and he's already followed through on that, right? Remember when Daryl Morey took over the Rockets? Mm-hmm. He had nothing, and he pulled off the James Harden trade, right? And I didn't think James Harden was going to be James Harden, not to this level. I don't think nobody did.
Nobody.
Outside of Daryl Morey.
Nobody did.
Because I remember that first week that he had with Houston. Think about it. He didn't do no training camp with Houston that year because it was after the training. It was right before the season that trade went down. Yep. James Harden came out scoring 30, 40. That's just a fluke because he's happy by himself. So James Harden actually took that leap. So all I'm saying is Daryl Morey already started with nothing before. Daryl Morey, to me, is one of those GMs like a Sam Hinkie, or not Sam Hinkie, Sam Presti, that, bruh.
Overrated.
Whatever. He will do whatever it takes to make the best moves possible. And the reason why I'm saying get rid of James Harden is because of the value. Because everybody else, you're just going to get the same thing in return outside of draft picks.
I do feel that James Harden is just this team's version of T-Mac.
He is.
But he feels more seats than T-Mac because T-Mac was never MVP, and I think they loved
it. I was going to say, and with the Sam Presti slight that you just tried to pull, Sam Presti drafted the last three MVPs.
Yep.
So I made it out that.
It don't matter.
Boston.
It does matter.
Okay, fine.
If Boston. Y'all think what so. We do? How we fix Boston?
Get Kyrie out of there.
Addition by subtraction. Addition by subtraction. That's all it is.
So Kyrie gone?
Yeah.
Anything else?
I'm pulling
Rozier,
the tape.
Terry Rozier.
I'm pulling the tape on all y'all motherfuckers.
Is Terry Rozier
gone? Look, you already know me. I am backtracking. I was big time Kyrie. But it's also that relationship with the coach. I thought that, you know, because Kyrie was talking about before he got the ball, so he wanted to be challenged intellectually about basketball, this, that, and the third. Obviously, we thought Brad Stevens was going to be that guy.
And then what Kyrie came out and said.
I'm just Kyrie.
No. I'm going to add to that. Not only am I just Kyrie, I'm a basketball genius. He said he's a genius.
Kyrie said he's a genius?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a genius with the ball.
Exactly. But you're not a genius mind.
He wants to be because everybody say LeBron's a genius. He's like, I'm a genius too.
Yeah, I think he want to be Kobe. I don't think he want to be LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, he does. But to the intellectual point, it's like, yeah, I wanted to be challenged intellectually. I think he may have gotten there and be like, shit, well, there ain't nothing else he can teach me. I'm genius.
What do we say about Kyrie beginning the season?
Who?
He was like, I'm gonna put a tape on. I don't remember.
To me, I still believe they're not better without him. But I think they will play. They'll play more efficiently.
That
without
was what
him.
I said. I said they don't need Kyrie.
I don't think they'll get further than what they got.
Okay. And I still stand true where if Boston can get to the finals, they need Kyrie. Because you're not winning the finals without Kyrie and without Jason Tatum taking
that jump. I want to make sure I understand you. Mm-hmm. Not they need him to get to the finals, but if they get to the finals, with they are going to need him to win the finals.
Yes, they need.
They just got to get there, and they can't get there with him on the team.
I feel you. So it's
a chicken and egg.
Yeah.
What you do? You just trade him?
Well, he's a free agent.
He's just going to walk. Okay. So that's why I said addition by subtraction.
And you really don't lose much because you only traded IT.
Do you trade for Boston? Do you trade some of those picks and some players to get AD right now?
AD don't want to go to Boston, man.
I don't think AD would want. And here's the thing.
But let's say Kawhi stays in Toronto. That's twice in back-to-back years, a big-time free agent stayed at a team they got traded to.
Mm-hmm.
AD does not want to. I don't care what AD says. AD does not want to play in Boston.
We said the same.
So you think is he a New York or LA fan?
For AD? I think it's LA.
I
hope it's New York.
I don't see how LA makes sense because of where they are.
I'm thinking. Okay, I'm sorry.
Only their draft pick makes sense.
LA 2020. That's what I think. So what happens?
Oh, so you saying when he becomes
a free
agent?
So I'm thinking LA 2020 as a free agent.
I got you.
So if they want to rent him,
I think Pelicans will try to get rid of him because I mean he's already made it clear.
Let him walk for nothing.
Yeah, he's already made it clear that he doesn't want to play with him.
If Griffin before the finals is over, Griffin still can't get him to stay. He's gonna move him out as soon as June 30th.
And here's the thing. I definitely think that if a trade happens, AD's going to New York because Griffin is very smart GM. Mm-hmm. And I think that you get Zion and you go get his homie RJ Barrett. And you start the story that way. You know what I'm saying? I think that's how it happens.
Or John Moran if he fall.
He's not.
He's not falling.
Because they said Memphis is already saying that they're going to take him and they're going
to
trade Mike Conley.
Well, they could be saying that to see who's going to step up.
Trade Mike Conley.
Or with Phoenix. I'm just saying, like, Phoenix could be like, hey, Mike look, Conley? We'll give you a player and our pick.
Get rid of Reggie Jackson.
But who does Phoenix have?
They can get
y'all debating stuff that's not even going to happen and matter. This ain't Bill Simmons.
Yeah, like Phoenix ain't got nobody that's going
to
move.
So Memphis trying to trade Mike Conley.
Yeah, which makes sense. Because, look.
Man, Mike Conley played about, 50 games in the last 5 years?
that grindhouse aura that they have. It needs to go. If I'm already saying Houston needed to blow it up, they've been needed to blow up Memphis.
Yeah.
So Mike Conley is the last remnants of that.
So
move
on. Mike Conley's not healthy enough?
He is. They just rested him, so they were trying to tank.
I wouldn't mind him being a Pistons.
I fuck with shit.
Pistons or the Lakers. I've been saying the Lakers for a minute now.
Yeah, we'll see. Would like for him to be a Piston.
So while I think AD LA 2020, I do believe some of the reports that he wouldn't mind playing in New York.
No, he said that. That was on his short list of teams.
Was AD.
It his words? AD. Or was it just a report? Or
no, it was his list.
Hear him say it.
We don't hear none of these niggas say that shit.
He had Boston on the list. I think New York could be legacy impacted for him, depending on who else goes there. But I also think LA could be the move because I think Rich Paul and LeBron has been his ear, and that's why I really think LA is going
to
be it.
But like that goes back to Feeble's point. Like, what does LA have? Okay, so they have the fourth pick. They got a guy with a blood clot. They got another guy.
I'm not
with
thinking about any of that. I think this would.
Oh, you still saying 2020?
2020, and okay. I think this is just where he wants to go play the rest of his career.
So he'll get the last 2 years of LeBron.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, but if he go to New York with Kyrie and KD, that'll be...
Right, which is why I'm going to leave them on the board.
That'll shake up some stuff right there.
But Boston, I'd get them out of here. Because they're dysfunctional. They have their own toxic dysfunction thing going up, too. All right, so who's next?
Philly, since we want to go stick with toxic.
Woo, Philly's not toxic, bro. Stop that.
So Butler staying?
Butler is going to stay. I think Butler's going to – he's smart to stay.
Elton Brand, I'm re-signing everybody. The only thing that they need is a little bit more depth.
Like even Tobias?
Yes, I'm re-signing everybody. The only thing that they need as a squad is a Ben Simmons jumper. And I'm not even talking 3-point. I'm talking about 15 to 18 feet jumper.
What about all the rumors about Elton Brand trying to trade Simmons?
There's a lot of rumors about either him or Embiid. I don't believe it, mainly because you can't give up on talent that talented at that age. Because realistically, the only real hole in Ben Simmons' game is a jumper.
What It sounds like you're saying the same thing we talked about with Markelle Fultz.
But this is going
to No.
You said the same thing about his age and the talent.
Wait. Let's not.
There's a lot of mentality, a lot of things upstairs.
Y'all don't get caught in that.
We say the same thing about.
Let's not get caught in the loop.
I'm not saying that about Ben.
Ben is a mental. Is it not a mental thing?
We've debated this numerous times.
No, I'm comparing it to like we talk. These GMs.
But y'all had that same debate though.
No, but I'm saying it for this point. These GMs, they don't have the same patience like y'all think they do. Like back in the day, these niggas is trying to win now, quick as possible. You just talk about Daryl Morey talking about blowing up James Harden. And you think they're not going to do that trade? It's out of sight, out of mind for them to trade Ben Simmons.
So let me ask you. All right, so do you go get like a Mike Conley? Like, so what do you go get? Because obviously you let Ben Simmons go. You need a point guard.
That's they could trade Ben Simmons for Memphis. What's up? Give us John Morant. You get Ben Simmons.
I'd do that if I'm Memphis.
That's not going to even happen.
But it's not.
I'm just saying you got it.
But let's think about more realistic.
Okay.
Because I think that if you do trade Ben Simmons, you got to get a player that's ready now.
Yeah.
It has to be an upgrade. John Morant is not necessarily an upgrade because we don't
know
how ready
he is. And it can't be an old-ass nigga like Mike Conley.
Exactly.
I didn't say Mike Conley.
Do you go get? Like, is it CP?
No.
CP on Philly?
No.
Hey, that would be.
Because now we got to think about Houston.
What do you think, B?
How old is Ben Simmons?
It ain't about age. It's about getting the damn chip. Bro. We ain't got time. That window, FIFO said that window was 5 to 10 years. Does this team look like they got a 5 to 10 year window? The way the current NBA is playing right now.
Only if Ben get a jumper.
That's a big if. Yeah. We ain't drinking right now. It's a weekday. We ain't drinking. We seen
guys come in the league with no Jay.
That's why I think we're debating. That's why I think we're in a loop.
Because J.K. didn't have no jumper.
Let's get back to what we're going to do.
And I'm saying the only thing I do to fix Philly is a Ben Simmons jumper. That's all they need.
He should be in the gym right
now.
That's
what I'm saying. That's a big if.
Ken, what's your third year now?
What's your solution?
It's fourth year, but go ahead.
I'm third. I'm not going to even say the jumper. Even though I agree with everything FIFO said. Run it back.
Yeah, he's too young, too talented.
Give him another experience. Yeah, I think Joel Embiid, after him having this tearful moment, I think he's going to come back stronger and more determined. You know what I'm saying?
So just do everything we did last year this year.
8.8 assists.
And the reason why is that you also have, I'm very pragmatic. You also have to take into account
Brett Brown
that they're going to extend him. So that's a crutch to me.
Because
we all thought he got fired after the season.
No. So the rumor around the NBA was if he lost in that second round, he was going to get fired, right? Mm-hmm. But it's always, what do I always say? It's not if you lose, it's how you lose.
Right.
God, how much closer can you get?
Yeah.
How much closer if you're Philly? Bruh, and even that Kawhi bounce on that jumper.
I know, right?
Philly had it. Philly, they're this close. And I think that, think about this. That team was put together during the regular season through trades.
And that's where I was going to go.
They didn't even have an off season. Mm-hmm. So you bring back everybody. You pay them what it costs because it costs to win a championship. You pay everybody. And now you give Brett Brown a real opportunity with a real championship contender. And now you see how it looks. Because if it looks crappy, then Brett Brown's the problem.
Right, they'll fire him.
Yeah, I say running back with Philly. I'm fine with them coming back with that. Because now you have Tobias Harris for a full season.
Yep, Jimmy.
And Butler. Yeah, you have both of them for a full season. You have a full training camp with them. I think just come back for the season. Now, if it's, like Ken said, if it's bad, then you can kind of look at Brett Brown.
Who are you looking at first as far as
depends on how they're losing.
Are you looking at Brett Brown or Ben?
Ben Simmons jumper. That's the difference between a championship for that squad.
We better see Ben knocking down
what's
16.
The jumper, what's the jumper to you?
16, 17 foot.
15, 18.
Yeah. 15.
Consistently.
16, 17, 15, yeah.
Four. A KG jumper.
Yeah. That's all he needs.
Yeah.
Because look, and the comp.
And a nice little turnaround.
The comp to me, right, just in terms of how he needs to progress in his game is Tony Parker. When Tony Parker got to the league, this man could not shoot.
He had the spin move.
He had the flutter. Yep. He could go to the hole, but he didn't elevate his game. And San Antonio didn't become a perennial championship contender until he got that 15 to 18 foot jump.
Ralph, I'm gonna give you another one.
Who?
Kawhi couldn't shoot.
Yeah, Kawhi couldn't shoot either.
I mean,
we slowly
starting to see Giannis J getting better. You know what I'm saying? Like Giannis J is.
And how many years Giannis in the league now?
This is fifth year. Yeah,
fifth going on six. So it takes time.
But we better see it this upcoming season.
I'm gonna give you another one. Chris Paul can shoot. He couldn't shoot when he came in the league.
Chris Paul couldn't shoot like that.
Playing off of Chris Paul.
On Ben Simmons' level?
No. Oh, not on Ben Simmons' level. No, Chris Paul wasn't that great of a shot.
He didn't have a 3-point shot, but he had a good 15 to 18 foot shot when he first
He wasn't Jason Kidd level, but he.
I've been following CP3. Yeah.
Chris Paul's jumper was complimentary to his game.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't expanded.
It just wasn't expanded.
He didn't need a three like when he first came into the league.
Yeah, he didn't need it.
He wasn't as crispy as he is now.
When the 15 to 18 foot, yes, he was.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It was a three-point shot.
The New Orleans Hornets years with David West and Tyson Chandler?
He was a dog.
He had 15 to 18 foot his whole game.
Oh, yeah. He did.
Cause look, Chris Paul came into the league with everything he needed.
Pretty much.
But he didn't have everything like to get to propel him. Like, he had to add to his game.
I don't want to get stuck in this. I'm going to look it up. We can talk about it afterwards. But
Denver.
Time.
Yeah, they young.
They gotta wait everybody out.
Yeah, they young. They just give them time. Right. I mean, they gotta get their boy back. What's this
Michael Porter?
Yeah. Once they get him.
Look, he might be rookie of the year.
Is that the player you watching next year?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Because they're gonna pretty much have the same squad, really. I don't know if there's anyone that's up for
they might lose one or two people.
Isaiah Thomas.
I'm talking about like people that we seen
core?
Core is staying. So Denver will be all right. They'd be good.
I agree with that. They just need to get healthy.
Let me ask y'all something about Denver. Jamal Murray, is he a point or is he a two? Because I think he's more CJ than Dame.
I think he's a good combo guard.
Yeah.
So do you think that you let go like of a Gary Harris or something like that to try to bring in like more of a pure point?
I would look at somebody like who is a good maybe a Rondo
to start.
I don't like that personality.
I like the game,
but I don't like the personality.
Or like Elfrid Payton. Then.
Hell no.
You don't like
no.
Yeah, I'm not really big on Elfrid Payton.
I'm not big on Elfrid at all, not as a starting point.
What about Drew Holiday?
He's more of a combo. He was more of a two to me than a point.
He's
always been like that. Even when Philly,
I don't like Drew because he's so inconsistent with his jumper. I don't like him.
I'm saying, so who you bring in?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Do you think Reggie Jackson fits?
You talking about personality?
But I feel like Reggie Jackson's been humbled.
Man, if we can get rid of that, that would be nice. That would be nice if we get rid of Reggie Jackson.
I'm really trying to think because I feel that for Denver to make that like a big jump,
I want us to get
Jamal Murray, but I would like to see him more off the ball like a CJ McCollum than be like the primary ball handler. Because I think when Michael Porter Jr. come in into the fold, eventually he's going to be their leading scorer. Right, we know the Joker. He could do anything. Like he could give you 30. He could give you 10 assists, 15 rebounds. So for him, it doesn't matter. As long as he's on the court, he's going to produce. I think Jamal Murray is one of those type of guys too. Like it doesn't matter who else is on the court with him. He's going to get his just because he's a pure shooter, pure scorer. But I think that they need a person that can dictate tempo because at times, and we saw it against Portland. He's not a pure point. Like, he can't
control. So, Mike Conley? I think
Mike Conley's game and where he is in his career fits.
It'd be a good for Denver.
But, in the offseason, you could trade whatever. So you just got to make the math work.
No.
In the offseason, like, contracts don't have to work like that. It's only during the season.
Yeah, but I would assume Memphis would want something back.
I would give up Gary Harris because I think Gary Harris is a luxury.
What about dude from Miami?
Dragic?
Yeah, Dragic. Denver.
Dragic makes perfect sense for Denver.
I know my basketball shit, baby.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
They need somebody like that.
But nonetheless, they need time. We all agree.
Over anything, even if they wanted to stand pat, I'm fine with that. They don't have to make a move.
Yeah.
They just need time.
Okay.
Pistons trade off Reggie Jackson and some picks for Kemba Walker. We can get Kemba Walker over there with Blake and Andre Drummond.
I'm gonna have to wake you up on
and
that.
And those wing defenders
sound like a pipe dream.
We got some good wing defenders now, so we can get Kemba Walker over there. Yeah, man, I feel good, but that's just wishful thinking.
All right, so the fight. Are we done with NBA?
Oh yeah, I think that was all teams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Did you watch it?
I didn't need to.
It was on Instagram. You can put that shit on Instagram.
I watched Instagram because I was looking for it because I think, wasn't it free on Showtime?
Yeah,
as long as you had a subscription.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
I'm like, the game. You texted me while I was searching for it. You're like, it's over.
It's over. I'm like, man, y'all see that shit? Because y'all was watching the games. I kept going back and forth, but I was watching the fight. I'm like, okay, I'll come back to the game once this fight is over. Man, yeah, that shit.
But that hit, like, I sent B on Instagram a slow-mo hit.
Yes,
and
man.
They focus on this one white dude that was on to the bottom.
With a white
corner,
red
like,
tie.
His face.
Yeah, like, crazy. Oh, shit.
But if you watch that punch in slow motion.
He set him up so crazy.
Dude, you can see Buddy's brain move from the middle of his head to the outer layer of his head. Like, it.
And then he had the nerve to be mad at the refs because he said after the fight press conference.
Yeah, they called it too early.
Yeah, not the ring interview, but like the press conference that they talked. Yeah, he said he felt like the ref called it out too early. Nigga,
you were stumbling.
Right. Dude, like, are you kidding me?
Bro, look. Look at dude's head.
Oh my goodness.
You know what's crazy?
Oh my God. Whenever
Deontay Wilder fight, he's always the lighter heavyweight. Like he's always like 215, 220 ish. And the guys that he's fighting are like 260, 270, you know what I'm saying? 280. And it's like this dude is knocking him out. Like he the bigger guy. You know what I'm saying? That's what makes it crazy, man. Like he Anthony Joshua don't want to.
It's something about because he's lean, but he's powerful.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think.
Like, have we ever seen something like that?
You talking about lean and powerful?
Yeah, like that light as a heavyweight and still powerful enough to knock people out like that.
Not his size, but I mean, Mike Tyson was 215. 220 when he was fighting, but Mike Tyson was like 5'11", so he wasn't as big. We never seen anyone as big as this guy, 6'7". He's LeBron James pretty much that can box. So he's pretty much looking at LeBron James getting into the ring and fighting somebody. That's pretty much Deontay Wilder like every time. But yeah, I don't think his right hand is like crazy. My only thing with Deontay Wilder is that he's not super technically sound because like whenever he's throwing punches, that's why Tyson Fury was able to kind of catch him a lot, because Tyson Fury was like he's not a knockout artist, but he's a boxer. And when Deontay Wilder was throwing those wild open punches, Tyson was just bam bam bam, like countering him real good. But it's like if you get hit with that right, you're gonna drop. That's why he ended up dropping Tyson Fury in the 12th round, because he caught him with a right hand. But that's my only downside with Deontay Wilder. He leave himself open too much. And in the heavyweight division, all it takes is one punch. Like literally one punch can change the entire fight. And if he fight Anthony Joshua, which I still think Joshua's afraid of him, but if he fight Anthony Joshua, Joshua can get some good clockings on him. And all it takes is one hit and he can – I don't know, but I would love to see him. At this point, him and Anthony Joshua has to fight. You see that? That was crazy. At this point, him and Anthony Joshua has to fight. I disagree with Foreman, even though I wasn't living in that time, but George Foreman said he think if Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua fight, it'll be bigger than Ali and Frazier when they fought the first time.
Really?
Which, I mean, like I said, I wasn't living then, but they don't call that shit the fight of the century for no reason. Like, that shit was literally the fight of the century for a reason, so I don't know if I would go that far and say it's going to be that big to say that, but I want to see it. And Anthony Joshua is about to fight another nobody that we never heard of, Anthony Ruiz Jr., that he's going to probably mop up. They have to make this fight happen, man. They have to. I think Anthony Joshua is about to fight next month, so they have to make this fight happen by the end of this year or the first quarter of next year. Like, it has to happen soon, because these dudes keep fighting nobodies and all these no-name guys, and it's like, come on, like, you just making this would be a travesty if this don't happen in the heavyweight. We've never seen a heavyweight match so anticipated, you know, in a long time, and if these guys don't make this happen, it would be a travesty in the boxing world, in my opinion. They have to fight. They have to. Just like Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence, they got to fight in the welterweight. Like, they have to fight. That shit has to happen.
Well, you heard it from B.
It has to happen.
Kid, what's your nickname? Was B's segment, B's Corner?
B. Kellerman.
Yeah.
B. Kellerman. That's
B's Kellerman. I call him Black Kellerman.
Black Kellerman. Black Kellerman. I mean, there's some more fights I can talk about, but it'd be let on some longer if I was to talk about some more boxes to look out for. We had to have like a boxing segment to me, like, just talk about like some more boxes to look out for. Because I can name some. Damn, that was a good save.
Wow, he did save that shit.
Oh, don't tell me he's going to score still. Oh, don't tell me they're wow.
Yeah, they trash for that.
I'm going to an Atlanta United game next Wednesday for the first
time. Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Dang, that's dope.
I'm trying to go to a Braves game.
I got to get... You never been to a Braves game before?
Bro, not here.
Oh, yeah, I got to go to
the park. Is so amazing.
It is.
The ambiance there. And I'm not even a baseball guy like that. So it's a fun...
No, I mean,
like,
you don't even have to go to the game. You can, if you got tickets for the game, you can just go down there.
Yes. No, I've been down there just to, like, at the bars. I love the atmosphere. I'm like, but I got to go to a game. Like,
yeah. Oh, it's dope. It's dope. Yeah, it's definitely dope, man.
I don't care to watch it on TV. I love watching it live. It's nothing like it.
Yeah. Oh, man, seeing them pitches.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Seeing that shit live, man, I'd be like, God damn.
And then the tickets ain't that bad, dude.
Tickets ain't never that bad.
Bro, I got some really good tickets for me and the wife. Like, we spent like $40 on
tickets. That's all I'm saying. It's only that.
I used to go every time the Mets were in town because I was a big-time Mets fan. I still am. But every time they would be in town.
I was going to try to go to a Reds game when they came down.
And so. Seeing them pitches live, man, is amazing.
Yep, so... All right, y'all, man. We appreciate, let me see y'all say anything, but we appreciate you guys hanging out with us, man. I'm glad you guys enjoy watching the podcast live, man, and kicking it with us. Definitely share the show and you know, let others know. Trying to see.
Is Facebook Live or YouTube Live?
Nah, YouTube Live. Yeah. Anyway, New Orleans coach likes these young players. That's been reported. Anyway, dang, all right. Salute, Jay the Jet. We'll catch you next week, man. Every Tuesday, 9 p.m. on YouTube. We'll catch you guys next week. We out. Peace.
Peace.